Chapter 8. Are these the muslined pink young things to whom we vowed and swore nooks on summer Sundays by the Froom or Budmouth shore? Do they remember those gay tunes we trod clasped on the green? Aye, trod till moonlight set on the beaten sod a satin sheen? They must forget, forget. They cannot know what once they were, or memory would transfigure them and show them all was fair. 3. After the club dance, black on frowns east on maiden, and westward to the sea, but on neither is his frown laden with scorn, as his frown on me. At dawn my heart grew heavy, I could not sip the wine, I left the jocund bevy and that young man o' mine. The roadside elms pass by me, why do I sink with shame, when the birds they perch there I me? They too, have done the same. IV, the market girl, nobody took any notice of her as she stood on the cossy curb, all eager to sell her honey and apples and bunches of garden herb. And if as he had offered to give her wares and herself with them to that day, I doubt if a soul would have cared to take a bargain so choice away. But chancing to trace her sunburnt grace that morning as I passed nigh, I went and I said, "Oor maidy dear, and will none of the people buy?" And so it began. And soon we knew what the end of it all must be, and I found that, though no others had bid, a prize had been won by me. V. The inquiry, and are ye one of Hermitage, by Ival Road, and do ye know, in Hermitage a thatch-roofed house where sand greens grow? And does John Waywood live there still ye of the name, that there abode when father hurtled on the hill some 15 years ago? Does he now speak o' Paddy Beach, the Paddy Beach he used to see, or ask at all, if Paddy Beach is known or heard of out this way? Ask ever if she's living yet, and where her present home may be, and how she bears life's fag, and fret after so long a day? In years agone at Hermitage this faded face was counted fair, none fairer, and at Hermitage we swore to wed when he should thrive. But never a chance had he or I, and waiting made his wish out where, and time, that dooms man's love to die, preserves a maid's alive. Vi, a wife waits, wills at the dance in the club room below, where the tall liquor cups foam. I on the pavement up here by the bow, wait, wait, to steady him home. Will and his partner are treading a tune, loving companions they be. Willie, before we were married in June, said he loved no one but me. Said he would let his old pleasures all go ever, to live with his dear. Will's at the dance in the club room below, shivering I wait for him here. Note. He bow, line 3, the old name for the curved corner by the cross streets in the middle of Casterbridge. Via, after the fair, the singers are gone from the corn market place with their broadsheets of rhymes. The street rings no longer in treble and bass with their skits on the times. And the cross, lately thronged, is a dim naked space that but echoes the stammering chimes. From clock corner steps, as each quarter ding-dongs, away the folk roam by the art and grace bridge in two byways and wrongs, or across the ridged loam. The younger ones shrilling the lately heard songs, the old saying, "Would we were home." The shy-seeming maiden, so mute in the fair now rattles and talks, and that one who looked the most swaggering there grows sad as she walks, and she who seemed eaten by cankering care and statuesque sturdiness stalks. And midnight clears high street of all but the ghosts of its buried burghese, from the latest far back to those old Roman hosts whose remains one yet sees, who loved, laughed, and fought, hailed their friends, drank their toasts at their meeting times here, just as these. 1902. Note. He chimes, line 6, will be listened for in vain here at midnight now, having been abolished some years ago. The dark-eyed gentleman. I pitched my day's leasings in Crimmercrock Lane, to tie up my garter and jog on again, when a dear dark-eyed gentleman passed there and said, in a way that made all o' me color rose red, "Hat do I see o' pretty knee?" And he came, and he tied up my garter for me. 2. Twixt sunset and moonrise it was, I can mind. Ah, 'tis easy to lose what we never more find. Of the dear stranger's home, of his name, I knew not, but I soon knew his nature and all that it brought. Then bitterly sobbed I, that he should ever have tied up my garter for me. 3. Yet now I've beside me a fine lissom lad, and my slips nigh forgot, and my days are not sad. My own dearest joy is he, comrade, and friend, he it is who safeguards me, on him I depend. No sorrow brings he, and thankful I be that his daddy once tied up my garter for me. Note. Easings, line 1, bundle of gleaned corn. To carry clavel, you turn your back, and never your face to me, alone you take your homeward track, and scorn my company. What will you do, when Charlie's seen do beating down this way? You will turn your back as now, you mean? Nay, carry clavel, nay. You will see none's looking, put your lip up like a tulip, so, and he will call you, bend, and sip. Yes, carry, yes, I know. The orphaned old maid, I wanted to marry, but father said, no, 'tis weakness in women to give themselves so. If you care for your freedom you will listen to me, make a spouse in your pocket, and let the men be. I spake on again and again. Father cried, why if you go husbanding, where shall I bide? For never a home's for me elsewhere than here. And I yielded, for father had ever been dear. But now father's gone, and I feel growing old, and I'm lonely, and poor in this house on the wold, and my sweetheart, that was found a partner elsewhere, and nobody flings me a thought or a care. The spring call, down Wessex way, when springs a shine, the blackbirds, red tie to her, and Wessex accents marked as mine is heard afar and near. He flutes it strong, as if in song no ours of feebler tone than his appearing, ready dear, have blackbirds ever known. Yet they pipe, ready dear, I glean, beneath a Scottish sky, and etty da ah, amid the treen of Middlesex or nigh. While some folk say perhaps in play who know the Irish Isle, 'tis early there, in treeland there when songsters would beguile. Well, I'll say what the listening birds say, hearing red tide a however strangers sound such words, that's how we sound them here. Yes, in this climate pairing time, as soon as eyes can see her at dawn of day, the proper way to call is red tide a Julie Jane, sing, how I would sing, how I would raise the tune, when we rode in the wagon from harvesting by the light o' the moon. Dance, how I would dance. If a fiddle string did but sound, she would hold out her coats, give a slanting glance, and go round and round. Laugh, how I would laugh. Her peony lips would part, as if none such a place for a lover, to quaff at the deeps of a heart. Julie, O girl of joy, soon, soon that lover he came. Ah, yes, and gave thee a baby boy, but never his name. Dot dot, tolling for her, as you guess. And the baby too. Dot dot is well. You knew her in maidhood likewise? Yes, that's her burial bell. Suppose, with a laugh, she said, should blush that I'm not a wife. But how can it matter, so soon to be dead, what one does in life? When we sat making the morning by her death bedside, said she, dears, how can you keep from your lovers, adorning in honor of me? Bubbling and brightsome-eyed. But now, oh, never again. She chose her bearers, before she died from her fancy men. Note. It is, or was, a common custom in Wessex, and probably other country. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.